Hello, this is Hugh Baird, and I'm your moderator for this evening's discussion. I'm here with State Senator Art Haywood and his guests, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Haywood or his guests this evening, press star 3 at any time on your phone's keypad. Again, that's star 3 on your phone's keypad if you have a question for Senator Haywood and his guests. Now I'd like to welcome Senator Art Haywood.
Thank you, you, and thank you to all of the area residents participating on tonight's call. Some of the best feedback and ideas I have received come directly from these telephone town halls. I'm Senator Art Haywood. I'm holding this live telephone town hall where we will be discussing the coronavirus with my very special guests, Brenda Weiss and Michelle Masters from Montgomery County Office of Public Health, and David Tooth from the Pennsylvania Department of Health. We will answer your questions live tonight. This format will allow you to listen and enjoy this conversation from the comfort of your home. If you would like to ask a question at any time, press star 3 on your phone. Now, let me briefly allow each one of my three guests to share a few words about the work that they are doing to protect us from the coronavirus. Let me start with Brenda Weiss from Montgomery County. Brenda, please share with all who are listening some basic information about what's happening in Montgomery County.
Thank you, Senator, and I appreciate the opportunity tonight. I'm going to ask our Communicable Disease Director, Michelle Masters, to give a brief update.
Hi, my name is Michelle Masters. I'm the Division Director for Communicable Disease here at Montgomery County Office of Public Health. So just want to do a quick overview of coronavirus so that you can get an understanding of what we're doing here at the county level. For your awareness, globally, there are 97,885 confirmed cases. In the United States, there are 221 cases and 12 deaths. I do want to reassure everyone at this time, there are no confirmed cases of coronavirus in Pennsylvania. Just to give a little background about coronavirus, coronavirus is transmitted similar to other respiratory illnesses like influenza, so through close contact to individuals that are ill with the virus, as well as possible exposure to surfaces where an individual might have touched who was ill, and then you touched that surface and then touched your face, eyes, nose, or mouth. We know that coronavirus causes symptoms like cough, fever, shortness of breath. Individuals can spread the illness between 2 and 14 days while they are symptomatic. We do know there is a possibility for individuals to transmit when they are not symptomatic. So right now what we're doing in Montgomery County is we are really responding to individuals who are ill or who are in contact with confirmed cases to provide recommendations to help prevent the spread in their homes as well as in the community. And then we are focusing on target populations that are more at risk and vulnerable for the illness, similar to elderly individuals, children who are under the age of 2, those that have chronic illnesses, as well as those that are immunocompromised. Just to make everyone aware, at this time, there is no vaccine, as well as no antiviral medication. What is recommended for treatment is just supportive medication, as well as hydration. And here at the Office of Public Health, we are really putting a focus on the cover your cough, clean high-touch surfaces, wash your hands as much as possible, and if you aren't able to wash your hands with soap and water, to use alcohol-based hand rub, as well as contain, meaning stay home when you're sick.
All right. Thank you. David, what do you got from the state perspective?
Certainly. Thank you, Senator. Appreciate the opportunity. So at the Department of Health in Pennsylvania, we've taken a very proactive approach to preparing and carefully monitoring for potential cases. To reiterate what was said earlier, we have no confirmed cases in Pennsylvania of coronavirus at this time. But at the Department of Health, we've been working very closely with our local, state, and federal partners to ensure that we're prepared for any potential case in Pennsylvania. Your district, Senator, you have two great county health departments in Montgomery County and in Philadelphia, who we are working very closely with throughout this this event. We're also working closely with business partners, schools, and other organizations as information is reported to the department to make sure that there's clear and accurate information shared. Additionally, our team is working to ensure the health and safety of all Pennsylvanians returning from areas where coronavirus outbreaks are occurring. Specifically, we've been monitoring symptoms of residents returning to Pennsylvania from China and Iran, and we will continue that monitoring. We're also monitoring the spread of the virus throughout the world. A significant event this week was that Pennsylvania has been able to begin testing in our state lab in Exton. Previously, all test samples that were coming in Pennsylvania were going down to the CDC laboratory in Atlanta, which caused for some significant lag time in our ability to receive test results back. So now with the ability to test in our state lab locally here in Exton, we are able to greatly shorten that turnaround time. And that will definitely improve our ability to better protect Pennsylvanians. But we continue to have our Pennsylvania Department of Health Emergency Operations Center activated. We've had that activated since January, and we're going to continue to work to maintain communication with our federal, state, and local parties.
Great. I just do want to share, before I turn it back over to you, that we did invite the Philadelphia Department of Public Health, but they were not available at short notice for this call. Turn it back over to you.
Okay. Senator, thank you very much. Just a reminder for those that have joined us and have a question for Senator Hayward or the panel this evening, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3 on your phone's keypad. We had some reports of folks just pressing 3. You won't be able to get in if you just press 3. You have to press *3 to be online, to be screened, so that we can get your question. Senator, we're going to go to our first question. That's in Allison in Elkins Park. Allison, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood and his guests.
Hi. This is Allison. Question is, could the coronavirus affect the water supply?
Who wants to take that one?
All right. So this is Brenda from the Montgomery County Office of Public Health. So it's a good question, and I think it's one of those scientific questions that we don't perfectly have an answer for. We do know transition occurs from droplets that come out when you sneeze or cough. So that is a form of water, as you know, and they can stay on surfaces for a little bit, and other people can get exposed to the virus from someone who's sick and touches that surface. Now, whether they can live in water, in vast water supplies, I would guess not, but I don't think that's been confirmed either way, and we certainly have not received any guidance from CDC on that.
Yeah, to reiterate, this is Dave from the Department of Health. I would agree with everything that was said, but from what we know, coronavirus is spread currently just like the flu or a cold through coughing or sneezing, close personal contact such as touching or shaking hands, or touching an object or surface with the virus on it. Occasionally fecal contamination, but that's the information that we have at this time.
Well, Allison, thank you very much for your call. Before we return to the callers tonight, just a reminder for those that have joined us, if you have a question for Senator Hayward or his guest this evening, you press *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go to Londell. Londell, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hayward.
Yes. Good evening. I have several questions. I woke up this morning, I've been listening to the news, in the past week or so regarding, the virus, and I'm a mother's caregiver, and she's elderly, and I, you know, woke up, I went online, the Home Depot. I mean, I have certain things in the home that I just had, you know, that I was using anyway, because sometimes she has health aides coming in. So I have Clorox wipes and so on and so forth. But I was out of hand sanitizer, and I wind up going to the Home Depot. I went to my local grocery store's website, and everybody is out of everything. So I'm saying, okay, you know, it sound, you know, it's just like it's the snow. You know, when it snows, you know, the breads are, you know, the shelves are all out, the milk is all out. But this is in some way kind of different. This is like a health, to me, has become global. You know, I watch CNN, and I, as I said, I watch the local news. Maybe I'm watching too much news, and you know, I listen to the professional, the commission, the health, the, you know, the CDC and so forth. But, you know, I'd like to know what are we doing here in Philadelphia? I know we say nothing has happened yet, but I think it's inevitable that it will. You look at New York, you see their transportation crew is wiping down turnstiles and the transportation system, and even the ATM machines are being wiped down. Certain schools in certain states are using a different type of cleaning method, where it's a technical, where they just hold it, and they just spray out, you know, and they spray the desks and the doors and so forth. And it made me think, what are we doing for our schools here in Philadelphia in terms of our children? Also, in terms of an idea that I had, in terms of, let's say, our first responders, our firemen that are located in the various areas of this, you know, of our community, the same way they do with the smoke detectors, how about they do that with the hand sanitizers? In terms of, you know, seniors who can't get out, or people who are ill who can't get out, to do the same process once these manufacturers get back in stock, where they can, you know, give each, you know, contact local block captains, committee people, and so forth, and see how many people who would need, you know, the hand sanitizers. And they can be given out to the people, you know, who are at need, who can't get out. And once they do get out, everything is gone. So, okay. You know, those are things. And then also I'd like to know, what is the difference between antimicrobial and antibacterial cleaner, the difference?
Thank you,
okay,
Lindell.
Thank you so much. So we got three questions on the table. What's happening with the school district? What can we do in terms of these two different types of hand sanitizers, and three, what can be done to reach people in locations where they have less mobility? I don't think there's any. We don't have anyone on the call to talk on behalf of the School District of Philadelphia, so we'll get that information and post it. We'll give you a call back, but we don't have direct information. At least I don't. Does anyone on the call have any direct information about what the School District of Philadelphia is doing?
We do not.
Nope.
We can follow up. I have a good relationship with the school district, and we can get the answer to that. On the question of what the city of Philadelphia is doing to reach out to those who are in homes and have less mobility, we can also reach out on that. Is there, do either of our guests know what any processes or procedures that folks are using at this time to reach out to folks who have less mobility? I guess it's kind of challenging since we don't have any confirmed cases in the entire state. But any plans you all have heard about to reach those who are in homes with less mobility?
Hi, this is Michelle from Montgomery County. We are working with our offices in Health and Human Services to reach different populations. So we have our offices of Senior Services that work with older adults. We have our Office of Children and Youth. So we have many offices in Health and Human Services that work with special populations that are helping us reach that in the community.
Okay. And then how about the question of these two different types of hand sanitizer? What's the difference? I think one was antibacterial and the other was
antimicrobial.
Yeah, what's the difference between these two, if any? Not aware of it. Okay.
Bob, we'll find that. We can find that and post that as well, Senator.
Yes, certainly. Thank you so much for the call.
Londell, thank you very much. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. But again, for those that have just joined us, if you have a question for Senator Haywood this evening, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. Again, that's *3 on your phone's keypad. If you have a question for Senator Haywood or his guest this evening, we're talking about coronavirus. We're going to go to Myra in Philadelphia. Myra, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hi. I have two questions. One is, why are people who are coming back from China and Iran being tested, but not travelers coming from South Korea, Japan, and Italy? The other question is, if you do suspect that you have it, should you go to your doctor, a hospital, or somewhere else?
Good questions.
Sure. So I could start on that one. So for the guidance that we have from currently, China and Iran are the two priority countries that we're doing monitoring for, primarily due to a bandwidth issue. We just simply don't have the ability to test everyone at this time. However, once further testing capabilities are coming online, and that is expected to happen sometime next week when private and commercial laboratories will also have the ability to test, that will increase that bandwidth and more testing will be able to be done. But right now it's simply a resource issue of the amount of travelers that we would be doing testing for. On the other case related to individuals, if you could repeat the question real quick, the second part of the question.
Well, what should she, Myra's on the line, but she's not available right now. Her question is, what if you have you suspect that you have it? What should you do?
Go to the hospital, go to the doctor, what's the next step?
Yeah, so if we're advising individuals, so if individuals that have arrived from Iran or China would be notified by the department to stay home and practice social distancing. If their conditions are severe, they would potentially be hospitalized. If any traveler has returned from Italy or South Korea within the past 14 days, we do ask that those individuals call our PA health hotline, and that number is 1-877-724-3258 to give the department information about their travel, and then stay home and practice social distancing for 14 days after that travel. So obviously, if individuals feel that they are sick and have symptoms, to please call that that help line at 1-877-724-3258, or also contact your healthcare provider.
Anybody else on the panel have anything to add?
Hi, this is Michelle. We, along with what the state is recommending, we're recommending that if individuals are ill, to call their healthcare providers before they show up to give them the opportunity to discuss signs and symptoms and preventative measures if they do need to come into the office or to go to if they need to go to an urgent care or acute care setting.
Well, Myra, thank you very much for your call. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood or his guest this evening, you press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3 on your phone's keypad. We're going to go to Derek in Philadelphia. Derek, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Yes, I'm here. The question is this virus have been known about for more than a decade?
Anybody on the panel?
So from our understanding, we know that there are many different types of coronaviruses. Specifically, this one is related to MERS and SARS, which you may remember from the early 2000s. But this specific case, we've traced back to early cases in Wuhan, China, which have been linked to a transmission from bat to human. And that's what the DNA evidence of this strain is suggesting at this time.
So it's really not new then, right?
It's coronaviruses are are in animals, and this one happened to mutate and transmit to humans.
And the precautions that have been taken for the common cold and the flu, is it not the same as for this thing?
Largely similar. Cover your mouth when you cough, when you sneeze. Stay home when you're sick, and you know, avoid, you know, avoid, you know, wash. Make sure you wash countertop surfaces, and make sure you, as I said, stay home when you're sick.
It's pretty, it's very similar.
Something
yes.
Bad.
No, that was accurate.
Okay. Well, Derek, thank you very much for your call. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Diane in Glenside. Diane, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
I'd like to know, what are the symptoms of the of this virus?
The symptoms.
Hi, yes. So the symptoms, we're looking at fever over 100.4, cough, and then shortness of breath.
Okay. Diane, thank you very much for your call. Senator, we're going to roll through these calls. We have a lot of folks who want to talk with you here today. Senator, we're going to go to Claudia in Elkins Park. Claudia, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hi. I just wanted to know, but I'm not sure that last answer might apply to this. How do you know if you have the flu or the COVID-19 virus?
You would have to be tested.
You would have to be tested. But if somebody said you had the flu but didn't have a fever, more than likely you do not have the virus?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you really need to leave that up to your healthcare provider to make that distinction. We are encouraging individuals who become ill to have influenza testing first before suspecting coronavirus at this time.
Oh, okay. So thank you. That was very helpful.
Great.
Claudia, thank you very much for your call. So we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Norma Lee. Norma Lee, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hello. My question, one of your speakers mentioned that you're taking proactive measures at this time, and my question is, are we contemplating having any centers to quarantine in the event that things were to multiply, get out of hand? And the safety, if someone is ill, let's say you're in a home with young kids, older people, is it safe to say self-quarantine yourself at home, or rather to have a center where maybe if you're very ill, you can be treated medically?
Anybody, panel or guest?
Yeah, so it seems like there were a few questions in there. The first one about quarantine, we certainly hope that we don't get to a situation where we have to have mass quarantines. However, you know, it could become a pandemic officially, and then we may have to take those kinds of measures to prevent community spread and to prevent the you know, death in people that may be more vulnerable to that outcome. For self-quarantine, if you are sick, you should stay home, right? So that would be the best thing, to be in your own home to self-quarantine. Mm-hmm. The only way we'd have to do mass quarantine is if self-quarantine wouldn't work, or we had a situation where, like, there was a cruise boat and you came back and everyone's on the boat. But we don't have that situation in hand right now, and we hope we don't have to deal with it. But we're actually trying to plan for all kinds of scenarios that could be possible depending on what we experience here in Pennsylvania.
Great. Thank you.
Normally, thank you very much for your question. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Vera. Vera, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hi, good evening. There was a question answered earlier, and I didn't hear an answer for where the young lady was talking about what was the preparations for sanitizing or whatever with the schools. But she also asked the question about what was Philadelphia doing, if anything, in preparation of sanitizing public areas like the subway, the buses, and so forth that I see other people doing. I didn't hear an answer for that.
Thank you. So we don't have anyone on the phone who can answer that question directly, and so we will contact the Department of Health in Philadelphia and post the answer. We will get that answer, and we will share it, but we don't have it on the call tonight.
Okay, and then my second answer was, I'm a travel advisor, and I have a lot of my clients coming back, and they're coming through the Philadelphia airport, and I've heard through the media that Philadelphia is not really doing anything. Some people had just come back from Italy, and they said they just walked on through, and there was no one to test them, question them, or ask them any questions. What is the Philadelphia airport doing, if anything, for precaution reasons?
So I think David addressed this in part. David, you probably want to share who's being tested and who's not.
Well, sure. So for travelers that are returning from Italy and South Korea, we're asking those travelers, anyone who has traveled within the past 14 days, to call our PA Healthline at 1-877-724-3258. So that individuals can let the department know about their travel. But those individuals are also being advised to stay home and practice, that self-isolation for 14 days after that travel.
Okay, so if a plane flies in from Italy, those people on the plane are not, I don't want to say quarantined, but they're not looked at. They can just come in?
Not at this time.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's based on the travel guidance that we have from the CDC currently.
Okay, so it's just from
However, I would note that CDC travel guidance did just update as of today, so I would encourage everyone to stay informed and keep watching our PA Health website as well as the CDC website to keep abreast of current travel guidance changes.
Okay. All right, because a lot of people are beginning to cancel trips now because they're afraid to get on the airplanes. They're afraid of someone coughing on the airplane. So I'm beginning to get a lot of cancellations, but I'm trying to be able to answer some questions. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling. This is critical for your business. I understand.
Vera, thank you very much for your caller. So again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go to Larry in Montgomery County. Larry, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening, Larry.
I'd like to know what is the symptoms of the coronavirus and how long does it take to incubate within the human body? And why are there no cases that we know of in the Caribbean? Is this a cold weather type of spreadable disease?
So this is Michelle. I can answer the first part. So symptoms, again, are going to be fever over 100.4, cough, and shortness of breath. We know that the period, the incubation period is 2 to 14 days. That means that's from when you were exposed to when you can develop illness, with an average of 3 to 7.
Mm-hmm. And why is it not in the Caribbean and more so in the cold weather areas of the world?
I don't know that we have an answer to that one. Any answer to that from the Center for Disease Control?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't think we have an answer to that one.
Okay, no problem, sir.
Yep. Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
Larry, thank you very much for your call. We're going to go to Joy in Jenkintown. Joy, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
I was just wondering if certain hospitals will be designated as the hospital to go to for this, or would it just be whatever your local nearest hospital is?
Anybody have any information
any hospital,
on that?
Yeah, any hospital designation, or just is that all based upon your local, your personal healthcare provider?
Yeah, this is Michelle again from Montgomery County. So you can go to any hospital or any healthcare provider at this time if you need to coordinate specimen collection and testing there, working with both the local health authority of Montgomery County or Pennsylvania Department of Health.
Good.
Okay.
Joy, thank you very much for your question. We're going to go to Taylor in Philadelphia. Taylor, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
I was wondering, is this coronavirus something just hitting in the air?
How's it carried? Is it carried in the air? I hear your question.
Yeah, people that haven't traveled outside the United States seems to be getting the coronavirus.
So, yeah, yeah. How's it being transmitted? How's it moving? I understand that question. I'm sorry.
So the virus is carried in droplets. So that's water that may come from your mouth when you cough or you sneeze. And so if those droplets land on a surface or on things that you touch a lot, and somebody touches the droplets on that surface, you can transmit the disease that way.
Okay. Taylor, thank you very much for your call. Before we go to our next live caller, I want to take we also have questions submitted online. There's a question from Beth that's submitted online. Can coronavirus live on hard or soft surfaces?
So the answer to that is yes, and the science isn't perfectly clear about how long that period would be, and it kind of depends on the kind of surface, whether it's a hard surface or whether it's a porous surface like fabric. But the estimates that it can be from hours to days to even weeks. So it's hard to tell based on the surface. I think the science just really isn't there. But I think the one thing to do is just disinfect your surfaces. Make sure you wash your hands a lot. So if you do touch a surface that has contaminated water droplets on it, then you won't put your hands in your mouth and transmit it to yourself. So the idea is to practice prevention yourself. As a way to sort of take care of the fact that we don't have the perfect science around how long they stay on surfaces.
Thank you. Thank you, Beth, for submitting that question. We're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Joy and Roslyn. Joy, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Yes. Hello. I was wondering if the virus can be transferred through currency, you know, money.
So again, that's an object or a surface, right? So if someone coughed and they had some coins in their hand, for instance, and they handed the coins to someone else, so that would be an object that has droplets on it, right? Mm-hmm. And that other person who gets the money could get the droplets on their hand, and if they put their hands in their mouth or in their eyes or in their nose, they could transmit the disease that way. So really, again, anything that you touch or cough or sneeze onto, that transfers contaminated droplets is a way to transfer the disease to another person.
Thank you.
Joy, thank you very much for your call. We're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Frederica. Frederica, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hi, Senator Haywood. I have two questions that might possibly like spin into suggestions. When I was a really small child in the 1960s, I was living in New York City, and one of my sisters got scarlet fever. So we were quarantined. This was not a voluntary social distance. We were quarantined. And I have dim memories of this because I was very little, but there was like official health department signage warning people that this was a quarantine situation and you were not supposed to be entering our apartment, period. You know, end of discussion. So I was wondering if there is available online somewhere from one of the health departments, perhaps in a variety of languages, of some kind of signage warning people so that if someone is trying to maintain a social distance, they don't have to come to the front door and explain why they're not answering the door, that some kind of signage could be readily available, perhaps in a variety of languages, to alert people to what the situation is without, you know, causing any undue panic. So that was one question, is how does someone trying to do the social distance actually alert people like people that ring the doorbell or neighbors or what have you, that you're trying to distance from, and there they are on your front porch.
And Frederica, what's your second question?
The second question is, I hope that this does not happen, but if this grows and cases are cropping up in Philadelphia, there is a primary on April 23rd. And I think if cases were cropping up quite a bit in Philadelphia, a lot of people might feel very uncomfortable potentially being in a crowded public situation, waiting online, you know, potentially having to stand pretty close to other people, touching the polling machines, all that kind of stuff. Is there any contingency plan or any discussion of contingency plan around the primary if the situation gets worse?
I would thank you for your question. Panel?
So I could address the second part of the question first. So related to the upcoming elections, CDC just did place updated guidance related to elections on their website. So that is very recent, and that would address questions that counties or poll workers or others, the general public would have relating to the upcoming election.
So on the signage question, I mean, certainly we could prepare signs that people could get access to. I think our worry is that there might be some stigma associated with that if people felt compelled to use those signs. So, I mean, I like the suggestion, and we could certainly make them available on our website, and people can use them as they choose. But I don't think it would be something we would require or enforce, because we would worry about people feeling stigmatized.
Great question.
Thank you very much for your call. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Alice in Philadelphia. Alice, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Yes. How you doing? Good evening.
Good evening.
I had a question about the fruits and vegetables and the food supply coming from the affected areas. Is there a reason for concern about that? And there's another question that I don't know how to put this one, because it's a disgusting habit that some people I notice do. But there are situations where people I've watched in the neighborhoods, they spit on the ground. Now, as far as walking your shoes outside in the street and walking in your home, if you have carpet, how do you, is it possible that anything could be passed through that? That's a kind of embarrassing question.
No, that's a good question.
And panel?
So on the products coming from countries that have high case rates, the only information we have about that is that products that have hard surfaces like computer boxes and things, the estimate is that the travel time for those products would be long enough so that the virus would not sustain that travel and be live when it arrived here. Now, fruits and vegetables, that is a good question. I haven't heard that one before. I mean, I think the hope would be that that is not the case, and you certainly want to wash your fruits and vegetables anyway before you consume them. But it really depends on that travel time. So if it's a very short travel time, I don't know the science on that per se, but I guess it could be plausible. So the way to take care of that is to make sure that you wash your hands and wash your vegetables and fruits before you consume them. And on the street question, did you mean that the person would have shoes on the street and then wear the shoes in the house?
Yeah, Alice isn't, she's listening, but she's not available right now. So
I think you're right. That's it. That's the scenario.
So the way it's transmitted is really the contaminated droplets need to get into your body, right? So it needs to get into your mouth, your nose, your body. And so if you have shoes on and then you're on your carpet, presumably you're not putting your shoes in your mouth or in a place where it's going to enter into your body. So my likelihood would be to say, no, that's not a route of transmission, as far as we know.
Well, Alice, thank you very much for those questions. We're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Barbara. Barbara, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Yes, Senator. Just asking about the cost for the testing. I'm thinking if you go to the your primary care physician or that, you'd be responsible for that. But what if then you have to go to the testing, or is that my understanding? The patient has to go to the testing in Exton, or how does that work, and who incurs that cost?
So the tests that are sent to our lab in Exton, there's no cost for those tests. And individuals do not go there directly. What happens is their samples are sent to the lab for that testing.
Okay, thank you.
Great question.
Barbara, thank you very much for your question. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Marcus. Marcus, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Good evening. Question is strictly about prevention. What does the panel suggest the best way to disinfect or sanitize commonly used surfaces, doorknobs, countertops, telephones, things of that nature.
So what you could do is use products that are over-the-counter. So you're looking at things that you pick up at the grocery store. And what we do recommend is just reading the label on those products, because there are very specific directions on how they need to be used and what type of surfaces they are good for, porous surfaces or hard surfaces. And then they do have to stay, products do have to keep a surface wet for a certain period of time to kill any type of germs or bacteria or viruses that are on that surface. So you really have to take a little bit of time to look at those products you use and really understand.
Okay. Right. Marcus, thank you very much for your question. We're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Elizabeth. Elizabeth, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hi, good afternoon, or good evening, I should say. At this point, do experts think that we should limit non-essential travel to places that seem to have community-acquired COVID-19, such as New York City?
Travel.
I would recommend keeping tabs on the current travel guidance from the CDC. That's the most up-to-date and accurate information related to travel.
Now, is the CDC saying don't go to New York City?
There's nothing right now related to interstate travel within the United States.
Thank you.
Elizabeth, thank you very much for your call. We're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Grace. Grace, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood. Grace, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Grace.
Grace, are you there? Okay, we lost Grace. We're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Rosalyn. Rosalyn, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Good afternoon. I would like to know, I see the people on TV and they're spraying around the streets. They're spraying around. What is that solution that they're using?
Where do you see them spraying on the street?
I saw it on the news.
Oh, okay. You saw it on the news.
Uh-huh. It wasn't here that they were spraying, but they had the uniforms on, and they had canisters and spraying the sidewalks and stuff. I was wondering, what is that they're using?
I can't say that I saw
it. You haven't seen that?
No, but maybe – but hold on. Maybe some of the panelists have seen it. Has anyone seen that? Who's on our panel?
Senator, I have seen the news report of folks in protective gear spraying. I think
yes.
They were overseas. I think that was in South Korea, but that's a good question. I don't know.
We can do the research and find out now that we have a location. It was in South Korea. We'll do the research and post it. We'll share that. Excellent question. We are not aware of it, but we can get an answer.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Rosalind, thank you. Senator, we're going to go to Fran. Fran, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hi, Senator Haywood from
Hi.
Glenside.
Thanks for calling.
I've been in the grocery business for many years, and I heard somebody previous calling about snowstorms and people rusted the stores. I call them French toast. They buy milk, eggs, and butter more than they really need. And the same thing with going on with this, people should look at their closets. They probably have sanitizers. They probably have Clorox. There's no need to rush to it. When you run out of, buy it. But what's happening is everybody's rushing into and buying it. And on the supply chain, we are having an issue filling that up. So please look at your inventory before you go rush to the stores to buy all the sanitizers and Clorox. Wipes, and then we can replenish it sooner, but the rush is what's hurting the grocery business. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Frank, thank you for your call. Senator, we're going to go to BJ. BJ in Willow Grove. BJ, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Thank you. My question is, should people avoid access to public gym facilities at this time?
Public gym. Should you go or no go?
Go or no go, yes.
Well, we have no confirmed cases here in Pennsylvania, so I would say you could go. I think things might change if we start seeing a high uptick in the number of cases. I think there might be a fear factor, and there might even be a potential for exposure, but we're not there yet.
That's a tremendous question, as are the others, but I just went to Planet Fitness yesterday. Actually, I didn't even think about that question. They're doing a tremendous amount of wiping down at that place, probably at the other ones as well. But great question.
Well, thank you. BJ, thank you very much for your call. Senator, we're going to go to Carol. Carol, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Good evening, Senator Haywood and panelists. I'd like to know, does the virus have a season? You know, like they say a flu season. Does this have a season? Will it slow down with the warm weather? Or do we have to be concerned about this for, not forever, but for a long time?
How long will it last?
This is Michelle. We don't know how long it will last because it's a new novel strain and we haven't gone through a whole year instead of seasons. We are not sure what we're going to see in the upcoming months as it gets warmer and what we see in the true cold months.
Okay. Thank you.
Carol, thank you very much for your question. Senator, we're going to go to Francis. Francis, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Yes, I'm calling regarding they're saying that age 60 and over are more prone to the coronavirus. Are there any suggestions for people in that age bracket? Because you have your pets and whatnot. Do you have any suggestions that they should take to prevent getting it?
So the preventive measures for everyone are the same. So you want to clean your surfaces, you want to cover your cough or your sneeze, you want to wash high-touch surfaces, and if you don't feel well, you want to stay home. So the same precautionary measures for seniors apply to everyone really in the community.
I did want to follow up on the pet question. Is there any likely connection to pets? I know she mentioned that she had pets. Is there pets at some kind of risk of either transmitting or being susceptible?
At this time, it's really unknown. CDC does have some guidance for individuals who are ill and what to do to manage their pets, but there's very little information about that right now.
There was an anecdotal case in Hong Kong of a pet coming down with coronavirus, but I don't know if that has been confirmed. Maybe the State Department of Health knows that. You know, the virus originated in animals and transmitted to humans, so it's highly likely that we can probably transmit it back.
All right, Francis, thank you very much for your call. Senator, we're going to go to Carlton. Carlton, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Oh, good evening. Yes, I'd like to know, my question is, are test kits available in hospitals and doctor's offices in Philadelphia for anyone who may have some symptoms and they want to be tested? The reason why I ask that is because when I look at the news and what I understand, the government is just now trying to get the test kits out. Do we have a sufficient number of test kits here in Philadelphia?
As of right now, all of the testing is happening at our state lab in Exton. However, it's hopeful that sometime within the next week, we should be able to have, you know, private and commercial laboratories have the ability to test, which at that time it would greatly increase our ability to do larger amounts of testing here in the Commonwealth.
Okay. So if I went to the hospital, they would, what, draw blood and send it to Exton?
It's not a blood test. It would be they would take swabs of saliva and through nasally as well, and then those samples are taken to the state lab.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you.
We might want to share, though, if you don't have any of the symptoms that have been mentioned, then it's not clear to me that folks should get tested. Well, if you don't have the symptoms, is there any reason to get tested?
At this time, if you're not having symptoms, there's not a recommendation to be tested.
And given the shortage of test kits around the world, it's probably a good idea not to even, think about that. Save the test for the people who are sick.
Okay, we're going to go back to the callers. I'm going to go to Abby. Abby, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Good evening. I'm just calling actually as a response to a caller a little while ago regarding Election Day. I'm the judge of elections in my polling place in Montgomery County, and I'm not sure about Philadelphia, but I know Montgomery County is going to be starting with a mail-in ballot situation. It's not like the old days where you had to request an absentee ballot. There's going to be a mail-in ballot. If you're really uncomfortable about going to the polls, then contact Montgomery County Board of Elections and find out what you need to do for a mail-in ballot.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And in fact, the mail-in ballot is available statewide throughout each one of the 67 counties. A mail-in ballot can be requested online at the Department of State. I have requested the mail-in ballot. And we'll be voting at home probably in the next week or so. Of course, I took that action before I was aware of the coronavirus. But it is a way to vote at home. No excuse or reason is required. It's just a new convenience that's available. So voting at home is a good solution for those who are concerned should we have greater incidents closer to election day. But every person across the 67 counties can vote by mail. Go to the Department of State website to get an application.
And if I may, I'd like to also chime in that the U.S. Census is coming as well, and it's very important that we have an accurate count from our states. It really is tied to funding resources that we receive. And the census is also a way to mail it in rather or do it online as opposed to have someone knock on your door. As the previous caller mentioned, she would like to avoid that, have somebody knocking on your door and asking you questions. So I'll put the plug in to do the census this year the same way.
Great point.
Thank you. Thank you, Abby, for your call. We have another submitted question, and the question is, what is the fatality rate of COVID-19, and how does this compare to the flu?
So there's been sort of variable information about this, and a lot of it has to do with the prevalence of testing. So a recent WHO, World Health Organization report, stated that the frequency of fatality from coronavirus was actually higher than the flu, like around 3 or 4%. But that was based on mostly the cases in Wuhan, China, where the epicenter of this illness has actually started, right? Our seasonal flu is actually a lower rate than that. But in this case, as we pointed out, because there's been a shortage of testing kits and people may have symptoms of illness, we don't really know if they have the flu, they have a cold, or they actually have coronavirus because they're not being tested. So you can see the rate may look higher because we don't actually know the number who are sick with coronavirus. We just know the number that have died of coronavirus. Now, the H1N1 flu obviously was very, very high fatality rate, closer to 15 to 20%, and that was probably one of our more recent pandemics. So we're hoping we never achieve that level. It doesn't look like we will. But I think the rate depends on really the geography that you look at and the way that you interpret the data.
Well, thank you for submitting that question. We're going to go back
question.
Okay, go ahead.
Can I jump in? How
sure.
many people have died from the flu this year?
That is a good question, and we can look it up, but we don't have it at our fingertips.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Joan. Joan, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Yes, hello. I have a question. I have a loved one in a nursing home in Montgomery County, and I don't see the facility taking any action. And I've asked a couple of people, nurses, one was a head nurse, And they said, oh, just the usual, washing our hands and wiping things down. And I'm wondering, are they required to do anything more than that, such as maybe educating the residents and the families about how they should be handling this?
So CDC does have guidance out there for long-term care facilities. Here in Montgomery County, we've been working to get that recommendations out to our facilities as well. There is a weekly call with the Hospital Association that oversees health care for post-acute, who has been talking with long-term cares and helping guiding them through this process.
Okay, so, well, what does that mean exactly? I mean, are there requirements that the nursing homes should be meeting? Or are there just guidelines?
They're guidelines at this time.
Okay. I mean, it's very concerning to us because a lot of the residents don't know what's going on. They're seeing it on the news. They're not being informed. And, you know, there's no hand sanitizers in the rooms. There's nothing. Do you have any advice how we should approach that?
I would say your best bet would be to reach out to the health administrator at the facility that you are concerned and just express those concerns.
Joan, thank you very much for that call. Senator, we're going to go to James in Philly. James, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Yes, I have two questions. The first has to do with, could you clarify the distinction between the flu and the coronavirus and whether or not the flu shot has any impact on it? The second one has to do with when you disinfect surfaces, are you actually killing the bacteria or virus or whatever it is?
Okay, so the flu and COVID-19 are two different viruses. COVID-19 is part of the family of SARS and MERS. It presents like flu symptoms, but it's a different virus family, and the COVID is actually a different strain in a different family. They just look the same when they, you know, when they get symptoms in a person. So that's the difference with those two. And what was the second question, sir?
Well, additionally to that, did the flu shot have any impact on either one? The second question had to do with whether or not when you disinfect surfaces, are you actually killing whatever the cause of the virus bacteria is itself?
So I'll get back to the other one. So the flu vaccine prevents the flu, and we do recommend people get the flu vaccine because there's a high prevalence flu. It is flu season right now, and it's only going to contribute to the burden of disease in our state. And when you use the antimicrobial, the antibacterial, what you're doing is killing the virus. That's the purpose of using the disinfectant.
Like Clorox will actually kill it?
If used properly.
Okay. That's all I have.
Thank you.
James, thank you very much for your call. Senator, we're coming down the home stretch now. Do we have concluding remarks from our guests?
Hey, I do want to say this. This has been a tremendous call. I mean, the number of questions and responses that we have has been tremendous. I don't know, do our guests have any concluding remarks? There's so many questions and answers that have been provided already. Anything you want to highlight before we sign off?
This is Dave from the Department of Health. I'll just note to thank everyone for their questions tonight, reiterating that we still have no confirmed cases in Pennsylvania, but do want to continue to urge individuals to do preventative measures such as covering your coughs and sneezes with your elbow, not using your hands, frequently cleaning surfaces that are frequently touched, and wash your hands as often as possible, and stay home if you are sick.
All right. Well, this has been a great discussion. Again, I want to thank Brenda, Michelle, and Dave. Tremendous conversation. Now, if you didn't have a chance to ask your question, please remain on the line. Excuse me. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we will get back to you. Thank you again for your participation. If you have any additional questions or concerns, please call my office at 215-242-8171, or you can visit my website at senatorhaywood.com. Have a great evening, and thank you so much for our panel of experts with the clear answers and up-to-date information so that individuals can have reliable information on this virus.
Thank you very much for those that have joined us for participating in Senator Art Haywood's telephone town hall. You've been a great audience, good information tonight, and enjoy the rest of your evening.